Scores of high-rises are planned for Oahu's urban core, and starting October 1st, anyone who develops a unit that could impact schools in the area will be assessed an impact fee of $3,800. We talked to the Department of Education's Dan Carlson of the facilities branch about this change.
It'll only impact people that are putting a potential impact on our school system. So the way it works is at the time someone pulls a permit to build a dwelling unit, that is when they will also be told that this fee is being applied to them. And if you're a single, you're just building one, then they would actually be working that out. They'd send a check directly over to our department here, and we deposit that in a special account that'll go to specifically that district and be used in that area for potential impacts on our school system. And the fee is actually designed around the cost of the land value that it would take to build the school, and then 10% of the building cost. So there's pressure from our legislators. When they came out with the rail and started the transit-oriented development, the speculation is in this region here, this Kalihi to Alamoana corridor, there could be an additional 39,000 units built. Now, how far out that is, 20, 30 plus years, they may never get there to 39,000. But what this allowed us to do is to establish a fee based on the impact that those additional units would have on our schools. Because if this whole thing builds out to the capacity that they're talking about, we anticipate needing one and a half new high schools, one and a half new middle schools, and potentially up to six new elementary schools if and when it gets to that point. But again, we only pull the fee when someone pulls a permit to build a unit. So if we never get to 39,000, obviously those fees will not. It's not like we're charging for 39,000 upfront so that we can build schools. It's basically a pay as the system continues to grow.
And right now on the books, we've got one school on the drawing board there by Mother Waldron.
We do, and that was kind of a that was a whole other issue. We need a school in that area. We had land in that area. The opportunity came up for us to. There's another thing out there called Act 155, which is something that we're working on where we can offer the land, but we're working with HHFDC on that project to build, yes, a school down on a property that we used to have in Poakina. It'll be the first vertical school that we really build, an elementary school. We're joint using Mother Waldron Park as well for, again, the recess kind of PE-type activities. Again, it's a brand-new concept certly for Hawaii.
Right, but the idea about that is that it's a vertical school, and so I would imagine that the other schools that are built in this area would also go up.
Yes, and we anticipate that. So something that we did change, so I talked about how do you get to that fee. To be honest, this fee is lower than the others across the state, and it's because in the process of going through this, we did come to the realization there's no way, for example, for a high school, we're going to get another 45 acres downtown. We realize that. So what we did was we actually changed our board policy and added what we're calling an urban exception, which reduced the land need for a new high school, new elementary school to, again, what is more of a vertical school kind of concept. When we initially did this analysis and did the fee analysis for this impact fee district, it was substantially more, upwards of around $9,000 as opposed to the $3,800 that we're at right now.
And I recall your predecessor, I think, had gone to various locations on the mainland to look at these new century schools.
Correct. And we even more recently, some of my facilities development branch folks, they did take a trip to, as we were designing this one in Poakina, just to better understand how do we do that. Because it's a new concept. It's something new that some of our teachers and administrators are going to have to get used to. But again, it really is, it'll be a 21st century school for sure.
And I know at one time the DOE was looking at other parcels that they've got in that area. There was some discussion about using a portion of McKinley High School to put on an additional school on the grounds there next to the Blaisdell Center. Where are those talks?
We're actually working on our strategic facilities master plan because we recognize all of those schools down in that area were, I'm under pressure to try and monetize through this Act 155. excess land that we have. Obviously, land values down in that area are the highest in the state. So it makes sense if we're going to do that, I'm going to try and monetize something like that, that it would make sense to do it in the urban corridor area there. At the same time, we also know we have this potential need for land to build these schools out. So we're trying to develop kind of a master plan as to how are we going to use all these different pieces of property. What you're alluding to, though, is a concept that we just kind of threw out there as far as, hey, here's a concept, here's an idea. If we had to build another high school, we've got a stretch along Pensacola right next to McKinley High School that, again, we could take a substantial amount of land there, build vertical in that area to again, build another school in an area like that. At this time, though, nothing is set in stone. We're completely, you know, these are just ideas that we're throwing out there. We don't have the demand on our high schools or our middle schools in that area right now, so we have excess capacity. As this does start to build out and we do gain revenue from the impact fees, then obviously that's something that we'd be looking at. But those properties, though, down in those areas, we're under pressure under this Act 155 to try and monetize those. So we're coming out with some other ideas on how to do that, and that's just kind of a different front. But, yes, everybody has their eyes on all of those properties down there because, again, land is going to be a premium as they build out the transient-oriented development. So we did go to public hearing. We did the standard. We're going to do multiple meetings, public hearings, and whatnot. The turnout actually at the public hearings was fairly minimal. I mean, one of the things we heard in the feedback sessions were, for example, for affordable housing and whatnot. And we have those communities out there that don't think the impact fee should apply to them. I'll tell you from the DOE's perspective, we are leaving that up to our policymakers, our legislators, to determine that. And it's something that each leg season has been brought up and discussed. Every leg season for the last three or four since we've been working on this, the DOE recognizes the, you know, affordable housing issue, but at the same time, each year the legislators have decided to not put an exemption in for affordable housing. So again, that is clearly their decision. We will follow their lead on that. We understand the issue around affordable housing, but we kind of remain agnostic on whether or not they should have an exemption. If a developer is coming in to build a large tower, and they're going to have more than 50 units, then there is a requirement for them to come meet with us, and we can discuss with them how we're going to execute this and how we can maybe make provisions. For example, and I'm just kind of throwing this out, if a developer came to us and said, hey, I want to build this, you know, tower, and we want to put, you know, low-income type of housing in it or whatnot, but I'll give you room for a school and I'll build a school and integrate it into this building, we could reach an agreement like that, that again, there would not be impact fees then, or they would be adjusted appropriately for a tower like that. That's exactly what has happened out, for example, in Ho'opili. We're working right now on designing another high school for out there, but that land for Ho'opili was donated by the developer. The high school, there's a high school lot out there, there's a middle school lot, and I believe three elementary schools in the Ho'opili subdivision alone, where all of that land was donated by the developer.
Any other thought to include parks, playgrounds?
Well, I would say with the Pohokaina Elementary School, that was a great opportunity for us to design in, you know, right next to Mother Waldron Park. I think as we expand our Act 155 stuff and we're looking at uses of schools and whatnot, I mean, we may end up opening up some land in some of those areas. We would obviously look at other areas where we have parks that we can maybe do something joint like that with, but that's obviously in coordination with the Parks and Rec Department. But yeah, I mean, again, it'll be interesting to see this thing develop out, and we're excited about the opportunity.
That was DOE's Dan Carlson talking about new impact fees for public education for public schools that kicks in next month.